So intriguing. What happens next? Who's excited to be up here at Hume Lake 2024 Outdoor Education? Right? Hello and welcome, night one. Let's get into it, shall we? Hey, we're not best friends yet, but over the course of this week, I hope that we become best friends, and so I want to introduce myself briefly. My name is Spencer Osborne. I have the privilege of being the pastor of a high school youth ministry at a church down in San Diego, and I got to come up here to spend the week with you guys. My wife is here as well. Her name is Taylor, and she'll be running around with our two little ones. We have Rylan and Miles. They are 3 years old and about 1.5 year old, and they're cute little gremlins, and so say hi if you see them. They're going to be running around. Don't leave your food unattended because you don't have to worry about the critters and the wildlife out here as much as you have to worry about them stealing your food. So you have been warned now, and I will not be held responsible for anything that they do. But did anybody get up, because all of you guys got up here this afternoon, did anybody get up here and you started unpacking your bag, you got into your room, you picked which bed you wanted, and you start unpacking your bag, and you have that sudden realization of, uh-oh, I forgot something. Oh, how many of us forgot something at home? This is a safe space, be honest, right? Right? Did anyone forget their entire bag at home? Really? You forgot? So that's what you're wearing right now. That's it for the week. Oh, okay. All right. You forgot your suitcase?
No.
Okay. Oh, you forgot your backpack. Oh, thank goodness. Okay, suitcase would have been a problem, would have been an issue. There's not there's certain things where if you forget like an extra jacket or a notebook or I forgot my pen or my pencil or something like that, it's not very consequential, okay? It's not going to be a big deal. But if you forgot like an extra pair of pants or if you forgot like, your favorite pillow and your teddy bear that you sleep with, all right? Did anyone... Now, be honest, no matter how embarrassing it is, be honest, did anybody forget their toothbrush? All right. Hey, this is a place of complete honesty. I'd like you to notice how my hand is still in the air. We're going to get to know each other, okay? This is usually the part where I want to get up anytime I meet new people. I want to impress you. I want to tell you some cool story about me and how cool I am so I can impress you. That helps us to engage. But instead, you know what? I'm going to let you know in a moment of honesty so we can really kind of set the tone for the rest of the week so that we can be honest and vulnerable and open with each other. I forgot my toothbrush. That was the first. It gets worse. I got here yesterday. Ah, I know. So has your breath ever been so bad you can taste it?
Yes.
Like, I can still taste my breakfast from yesterday. That's how, well, don't get too close then, all right? That's why you're down there, and maybe it might be safer for me to speak from back here or something like that so you guys can't smell me. But now we've been honest, it's embarrassing, I've been vulnerable with you, and my hope is that now we can all be comfortable being honest with each other, because no matter how silly you might feel, no matter what silly sort of thing that you end up doing this week, at least you weren't like me, at least you didn't forget your toothbrush and go 2 full days without brushing your teeth. Ugh. I know, so I'm going to have to go to the store. I hope they sell toothbrushes for that exact reason, all right? Well, if you see, okay, thank you for checking. So when you see me tomorrow at breakfast, I want you to make sure, did you get a toothbrush? And if I say no, you say, shame, shame, just like that, perfect. You nailed it, all right? You now have permission to do that. My wife will be very confused and afraid, and it'll be fantastic. Here's a question that I want to ask you. Have you ever been in a situation or in a place where you felt completely out of your element? Where you maybe felt completely out of your comfort zone? Where maybe circumstances around you are changing? Has anybody ever moved houses? Has anybody ever moved to a different town or city? Has anyone ever moved to a different state? Anyone moved to a different country? Can I ask where you moved? You moved to Ethiopia? So that's like all the way on the other side of the world. That's a big difference. How old were you when you moved to Ethiopia? You were 6, almost 7. How old were you when you moved back? Wow, 10, almost 11. Thank you for being so precise with that timeline. But you can understand anybody, if you've ever moved houses, if you've ever moved to a different city, if you've moved to a different state, if you've moved to a different country. Here's another thing about me. When I was 10 years old, so I grew up in San Diego when I was a kid. When I was 10 years old, my family moved to the country of Guatemala. And that's where I lived until I was 18. And so for 8 years, I lived in Guatemala, spent a lot of time in El Salvador as well. And that was a time, I remember when I was young, I was maybe about the, anybody in here like 10 or 11 years old? All right, so that was the age that I was when I moved away from everything that was familiar to me. I had grown up, I was on a little league team. I had these classes, I had my best friends, I had teachers who knew me well, I had the neighborhood where I knew all the different families. That was my comfort zone. It felt safe to me. And then we moved, not just to a different town, not to a different city, not to a different state, to a different country. And everything about it was different. It was a different language that I didn't understand. It was a different culture that I didn't understand, and I felt out of place. I felt out of my element. And you've probably felt that at some point in your life. I think that's a sensation or that's a feeling that so many of us can relate to, because it's a very real part of the human experience. You find yourself in a scenario or a situation where circumstances are outside of your control. And maybe it's not a matter of you moved or something, or you changed something, but everything around you changed. It's different. It's uncomfortable. And you might feel a little anxious, and you might feel a little worried, and you might be asking those questions to yourself, what is going on? What is happening, or why is happening? Why is this happening? And this week, we're going to explore the story that we read in the book of Daniel. And so right now, what I want you to do, everybody in here have a Bible? If you've got a Bible, raise it in the air. Like you just don't care. There it is. Bibles. Awesome. Hey, so now you know. And if you didn't bring a Bible this time, it's okay. It's the first night. It's the first night. Hey, I didn't bring a toothbrush. You didn't bring a Bible to the first chapel, okay? All is forgiven. But from here on out, every time we come and meet in this place, we want to make sure that we have our Bible. And I want you to go ahead and open up that Bible, and I want you to find the book of Daniel, and I want you to bookmark it. I want you to do whatever you need to do, because every single day we're going to be in the book of Daniel. So if you need a little help finding that book, we know that the Bible is separated into two sections. We have the New Testament, and then we have the Old Testament. Daniel is going to be found in the Old Testament. Now, if you really want to be tricky, all right, here's a hint. Here's a hint, all right? Because you've read your Bibles before, right? You're familiar with this. At the very start of the Bible, in the beginning, God said, let there be a table of contents with all the books of the Bible. That's what he said. He said, let there be a table of contents with all the books of the Bible. So you can flip there and see what page the book of Daniel is going to be in your Bible. So when we look at the Bible, when we look at Scripture, when we look at this particular time, and we're going to go through the context, we're going to be kind of laying the groundwork for the rest of the week of the study of Daniel, because nothing in the book of Daniel is really going to be meaningful to us without context, without an understanding of, okay, how does the story of Daniel fit in the larger narrative of the Old Testament? Because in the Old Testament, look at this, the Old Testament, all of this, we see so much history, and we see the history of a particular people group, the Israelites. So this is what we're going to be coming to, and when we look at the Bible through Daniel's story, it stands out as an example of people who have found themselves outside of their element, who have found themselves in a place that is unfamiliar to them, a different language, a different culture, a different way of life, a different religion. And it's not just uncomfortable for them, it's downright scary.
And the book of Daniel is going to give us some insight to their story. It stands out as an example of people struggling to come to terms with circumstances that are completely outside of their control. And we're going to be reading a story about some young men about your age who are going to go through drastic life changes. Their entire lives and everything that they know, everything that they love, everything that they are comfortable with is going to be flipped completely upside down. And in the midst of that, we see how they navigate those changes. We see how they navigate the circumstances that are outside of their control that have been changed. We see them navigate the reality that life is never going to be the same. Everything is different now. And they're going to find themselves in a land where the people and the culture are directly opposed to their way of life. Violently so. This is scary. And these are some scary times that we're going to be looking at. And I don't want to get ahead of myself and spoil anything, but by looking at what happened to Daniel and his friends and the decisions that they made, we can learn over these next few days how we can handle certain trials in life. We can learn about what it means to be resilient. That's a word that we're going to use time and time again this week. Resilient, standing firm, being strong in the truth that we have, in spite of and in the midst of all kinds of different things that are in opposition to that truth. Living in a culture that is going to be against you. As followers of Christ, you are called and expected to live differently. And so the world, as you will find, is going to come up against you in opposition. At the very least, the world is going to question you, but at times, the world is going to oppose you, and it's going to feel scary. And you might find yourself feeling the same way that Daniel and his friends did, in an uncertain land, with uncertain circumstances, standing there questioning, God, what are you doing in the midst of all this? Daniel is a story about how a few people decided to stay committed to serving God in the face of an entire culture that was determined to oppose them. I love the book of Daniel, and I'm so excited to go through this with you. So let's get a little bit of context for the book of Daniel, all right? If you have found the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1. We're starting right at the very beginning. If you're there, say, yep.
Yeah.
If you're not there yet, say, nope.
No.
All right, I'll give you a couple more minutes, all right? Because the best place to start, if we want to understand the story of Daniel, we need to give it a little bit of context. And there's actually a book, a few books earlier. It's called the Book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. And you see, the events that we're going to explore and learn about this week in the book of Daniel, the things that happened were actually foretold. They were prophesied by a guy named Jeremiah. Years before they actually occur, before they actually happen. So to bring us up to speed, we have the nation of Israel. It consists of the 12 tribes. So after they came out of slavery in Egypt, they came into the land that God had promised them. And they took over the land, and it was a good land. And this is where they set themselves up as a nation. And they wanted a king, and so they appointed someone to be king. And years go by, and they decide, the 10 northern tribes decide, we're actually going to break off, and we're going to become our own country. And then there's two tribes that say down in the south, they're called the land of Judah. So we have Israel and Judah, but they're part of the same people group, the Israelites. But both of these kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they've been disobedient to God. And there comes a time where God has to judge them. And this is what Jeremiah is going to be warning about in chapter 25. I'll read this to you. Chapter 25 of Jeremiah, it says, the word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. So this guy is the king, Jehoiakim, that's a fun one. That's the king of Judah. So this is the southern nation of Israel. I lost my spot. There it is. Which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Uh-oh, there's another familiar name. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 30th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. That's how I imagine he said it, all right? And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. And I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. Easy, geez. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That's a long time. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. I will bring on that land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against all the nations. They themselves will be enslaved by many nations and great kings. I will repay them according to their deeds and the work of their hands. Ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot. So essentially, Jeremiah is coming and saying, hey, so this is what God has to say, because time and time again, he's been trying to get your attention to say, hey, stop turning from me and worshiping these false gods. Stop sinning. Stop living in active and constant rebellion against me. I have told you again and again and again and again, and you have not listened. So this is what I'm going to do. If you do not turn from your sinful ways, from your active rebellion against me, I am going to allow King Nebuchadnezzar, an evil, wicked ruler, to come against you. And I will deliver you into his hand. I'm telling you, this is what will happen if there is no change in the way that you are living. And so now, we flip forward to the book of Daniel, where the story picks up. And as we're going through these chapters of Daniel, I want you to remember the words of in Jeremiah 25. Because we're going to see these events unfold and think, wait, that sounds familiar. Why did I know that was going to happen? Oh, because he said it would. Wait, that sounds familiar. This thing is happening. Oh my goodness, it's happening precisely how he said it would. The book of Daniel is going to take us on a journey this week. Are you ready for it? Because the book of Daniel, there are going to be times, let me tell you, all right? Because I want you to be warned and I want you to be prepared for this. Every time we come in here, you're flipping open to the book of Daniel, and we're going to be reading this, and there are going to be times where we have to go, okay, wait. What? And at those times, there are going to be moments where I want to give you permission, okay? We're going to be reading this, and if you see me go like this, like that, I want to give you permission to go, what? All right? So let's practice this. You want to practice this real quick? We're going to be reading something in the book of Daniel that is 100% accurate and true, but it is going to blow your mind. okay? So I'll be reading from it, and you'll be reading along because you brought your Bible because you didn't forget it like I forgot my toothbrush, okay? And we're going to read something, and I'll drop it like that, and you'll go, what? And that's an appropriate reaction. That's an appropriate reaction to have this. So let's dive into it. Let's dive into this. Daniel chapter 1. We're just scratching the surface, all right? This is just the very, very, very beginning that we're diving into because I want you hungry for more. I want you coming back tomorrow morning like, I gotta know what happens next. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, remember that silly name? Nebuchadnezzar, there's another familiar one, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He attacked it, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God, just as we read in Jeremiah 25. He was trying to warn the people, if we do not shape up, if we do not change the way that we are living, God is going to deliver us into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Not because necessarily he has a mightier army than we do, but he did, but simply because God is sovereign. And that word sovereignty, God is sovereign, that's a word that we're going to be exploring throughout this week as well. All throughout Scripture, but especially in the Old Testament and especially in the book of Daniel, we are going to see the evidence of God's sovereignty. What does it mean that God is sovereign? It means that he is in control of everything. Every moment of every day when circumstances spin out of control and you're sitting there thinking, what is going on? He knows exactly what is going on because he is in total and complete control. And time again through this book of Daniel, we are going to see evidence of his sovereignty. Psalm 103:19 says this, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. He is sovereign. So the question that I want us to be asking ourselves this week is this. What does it look like for us to live with resilience as followers of Jesus? What does it look like for us in our daily walk, in our daily lives, in our daily walk to stand firm on a foundation of biblical truth? When everything is changing around us, when circumstances are outside of control, what is the thing that we can control? We can't control God. What are the things that we can decide for ourselves? How do we stand firm? What does it look like to live with resilience as followers of Jesus? In a culture that is increasingly hostile towards followers of Jesus. Because being a Christian, whether you know this or not, whether you realize this or not, is an unpopular decision, and it always has been. Choosing to follow Jesus, choosing to live your life according to the truth of God's word, is an unpopular decision in a world that is obsessed with popular decision. In a world that is obsessed with doing what is popular, you have been called to do something that is not popular. You have been called to live different. In a world that is obsessed with everybody being the same, listening to the same music, reading the same books, watching the same TV shows, watching the same movies, speaking the same language, having the same words that mean things that sound nonsensical to everything else. That's what they want. But anytime we turn to Scripture, the scripture says, no, I've called you to live differently. I've called you to a different standard because God has called you to be holy. Agios, that's the Greek. It literally means different, set apart. You've been called to live differently. Daniel and his friends understand that they have been called to a different standard to live differently. And they are going to find themselves, as we explore starting tomorrow, they are going to find themselves in a land far from home. Because the Babylonians lay siege to the city of Jerusalem,
And we're going to find out what happens next, but they find themselves hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the home that they've grown up in, the only home that they know, the only home that they love, in a culture that is different, not only different, but opposed to their way of life. And it's not comfortable. There's nothing comfortable or safe about it. But Daniel and his friends are going to show us what it means to live differently, because what it means for them to stand firm in their faith is to focus on knowing that this is not their home. That there is an eternity that they have been called and destined to. They're uncomfortable here, and they're not going to focus their lives in making their home here as comfortable as it can be, because this is not the home that you have been called to. The Apostle Peter understood this in 1 Peter 1:3-5. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." He goes on, 1 Peter 2:11-12, says, Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, you found yourselves in a place that is not your home. You have found yourselves in a place that is not comfortable. You have found yourselves in a place that is uncertain, that feels unsafe. I urge you as foreigners and exiles in this world, in this life, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. But these words that Peter is writing here, this is after the time of Jesus. The story of Daniel and his friends takes place 600 years before Jesus. So what's the hope that they're holding on to? What is the truth that they are holding on to? What is it that helps them to be resilient as followers in a culture that is directly opposed to them? That is the question that we are going to continue to ask this week, the question that we're going to continue to dive into and explore and hopefully be able to find some answers to. Are you excited about it? Because I am. I feel it. I like it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this reminder that we can take from Daniel, and we thank you for the example that we can find in his life and the life of his friends. Our exile looks different in that we have not been physically displaced from our homes or treated the way that Daniel and his friends were, but for us to withstand opposition and hostility on this side of eternity, we need to have our minds set on our true home. May we find this week that this is absolutely crucial and vital in order that we might live with resilience for you. It's in your name we pray tonight. Amen.